Right. He could come on the scene right now, couldn't he? From the way things are looking. It's ready. The nations that are in existence and in power today, politically and strategically, are the right nations that the Bible speaks about. They're lined up with the right countries. Russia has the right allies, just like the Bible teaches. And remember, one of the reasons why, and we talked about last Wednesday night, why that Babylon would not be centered where old Babel was. Old Babylon? Remember what that was, Brother James? Why was Babylon not going to be rebuilt over there in that area? Why? Where is it, by the way? Where is Babylon of old? Where is it? Where is it, brother?
Iraq.
All right. Now, the Babylon that's spoken of here, this religious Babylon and political Babylon, you can't separate them. They're both the same. This is under the Antichrist, isn't it? Now, the Babylon, or the Babel, the old city of Babel, or Babylon over there, in Iraq. Now, what country has Iraq lined up with? Russia. All right. Well, Russia and the Antichrist are not going to get along. They're going to be enemies. So how in the world are they going to rebuild that city over there and build it up? And the Antichrist be the head of his world government when it's a satellite of Russia? It's not going to work. That couldn't be, could it? That's what many people believe, and I believe the writer believes that also in some parts of it. One writer does and one writer doesn't. Okay? This writer here doesn't believe that. The sponsor writer does. Okay? So you have differences of opinion. But when you really start looking at the area that's involved in this, you look on this map, that couldn't be. Because this nation over here, down here in the Mesopotamian area, old Babylon, is not part of this empire of the Antichrist. It's part of the empire of Russia. All right? So you have to keep that separated. Right? Revelation 17 and 1. Now we come down and we will study this. Revelation 17 and 1. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, and I shall show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." Now, Johnny, what does many waters mean there? The ocean? What? You remember? How about you, Julian? What does many waters mean here? What? The ocean? How about Rick? Many waters. Nation? Our peoples, okay. Many nations or people. The harlot is over these nations or these people, with whom the kings of the earth committed the act of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. Now, basically, this is not talking. We sometimes refer to it as Catholicism, and really, Catholicism did do this, didn't she? Back in the old, what they call the old Holy Roman Empire, this did take place to a certain extent, but this is not really talking about that. It's talking about the Babylon of the end time, the mighty harlot, the prostitute religion of the Antichrist that shall be ruling. It'll be a state religion, church-state religion, just like Catholicism was in the Dark Ages. This church-state religion will literally make the merchants or the kings of the earth drunk with the wine of her immorality. These are Western nations. Now remember, the Western European nations. We have four different groups of people that are going to be fighting at Armageddon. Rick, can you name those four? I want to keep pushing this across because I want you to remember this. Don't get an idea that it's going to be a one world system. That's what the Antichrist wants. But he's going to be still in the process of bringing it about when the Lord's going to put him down. All right? Brother Bob? one of the, name some of the four powers in the world that are going to be fighting at Armageddon. All right, China and her allies, which is these people over here, the kings of the East. Now, when you say the kings of the East, from what place are you referring to? From East, from where? Jerusalem. Talking about Jerusalem now. Right over here in Palestine, a little bitty dot over here. Jerusalem. East from Jerusalem. Well, that's China. All right. Now, when it talks about the kings of the North, or the king of the North, John, what's he talking about there? The North. What? No. North. No. The king of the North, Benny. Russia. All right. Gog and Magog. Okay. Now, when it talks about the Antichrist and his army, where? The European, the nation, the Western nations, okay?
And, of course, America could be lined up with them, or it could be one of the chief nations spoken of
at that time. I don't know. Something. All right, how about the southern nations? The kings of the south. What's that, Bill? Egypt and the African nations, all right? The African continent. All right, south of Jerusalem. So these are the powers that are going to fight the battle of Armageddon. Now, it says, and he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, a red beast. The word beast, again, what does that mean? What does the word beast mean, Julie? Swift-running animal. All right, stay real. Okay, that's the word. It means a swift-running animal. This animal is swift and dangerous. It's like a cheetah, like a female lion, like a some type of animal that can run quickly and kill. And that's exactly what the Antichrist is going to be, the kind of a person that he's going to be. One, it comes in swiftly, and he destroys. He doesn't care who he kills. You know, there have been cases of mountain lions in the area up here in these mountains where a mountain lion just killed a big killing. Just love to watch blood flow from an animal. Run and kill. And just leave him away. Only eat what he wanted, run and kill. That's exactly what the Antichrist is going to be. He's going to be that type of person. That type of being. Of course, that's what Satan is, isn't he? The Bible says that Satan was a manslayer from the beginning. A manslayer, a killer. He's a father of lies. A manslayer from the very beginning. He's going to do just exactly what his father, Satan, is. I'm going to repeat. Full of blasphemous names, this woman sitting on the scarlet beast is full of blasphemous names, having 7 heads and 10 horns. All right, now these are the nations that are under here, under the Antichrist. Basically, 10 nations. And we find that 3 of those nations fall and are just dissolved, and he takes complete control of those 3 nations, doesn't he? Evidently, the Antichrist, when he comes on the world scene, when these nations line up with him, these Western nations over in here, when they line up with him, there is going to be civil war among the nations because they don't want to give in to the Antichrist. They don't want to join up, the people of the nation. You know, when you have civil war, what happens in a nation? You have problems within. And before you can do anything with a nation where you can go out and fight another war, which is what's the reason for them lining up together, the power balance, you've got to squelch the problems within. And when the Antichrist comes on scene, if you'll come and follow me, he says, I'll give you peace and safety, but you must give me the power to bring your nations under control, under my control. And he does. How does he do that? Well, he does that by killing all opposition in the nation. Putting it down. Just like Russia, if she was to come over to America today and say, well, our country, our government would say, well, we'll give up. Just come get us, you know. Well, here we are. The people might not do what the government wants to do. Just because they say we give up, people might not want to give up. You know, some of them still believe it's better dead than red, you know. And some just might not give up, and they might fight. See? And that's exactly what's going to happen in some of these nations that the Antichrist musters together for his empire. Some of them are going to fight. Some of the people within those nations, he's going to go in and he's going to put down all rebellion. And then it says in verse 4, Revelation 17 and 4, and the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones, pearls, having in her hand a cup of gold full of abominations of the unclean things of her immorality. Now we look at this, and we can see that the woman is clothed in the finest garments that can be bought. Look at that. The finest garments that can be bought, this woman is clothed with. Because all of them today goes into underprivileged, undercivilized countries and takes the wealth. He's done this all the way down through the centuries. This is exactly what this religious system is going to do under the Antichrist. Catholicism may be the leader in this. I don't know. She's definitely going to be part of it. She may be the leader of it. She's already had a lot of practice, you know. She's done this for many, many years. The Vatican over there, Rome is going to be the center, evidently, of the Roman Empire. It's going to be the revived Roman Empire, isn't it? According to the book of Daniel. Where did the Pope rule from? Rome. Well, again, in verse 5, and upon her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. Now here again, sometimes we tie this back to the Dark Ages, where Catholicism was drunk with the blood of the saints of God, the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ that went through this area. Estimates say that Catholicism, and the old Roman Empire killed between 50 and 100 million Catholics during the Dark Ages. 50 to 100 million. That's a lot of people. But I'm going to tell you something. Babylon, the great to come, the religious Babylon under Antichrist, is going to do just as bad. She's going to be just as bad, if not worse. She's going to kill everyone that won't line up with her. There's only going to be one religious system under the Antichrist. That's his religious system. That's all. You'll have no freedom of religion at all. Period. Nothing. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered greatly. Why? How in the world could a system like this be set up? How could this happen? Well, look at Hitler. People say, even today, and they wonder, how in the world did Hitler go into Germany, take control of that people, and then cause such mass murder as he did to the Jews? How would a person do that? John, have you ever wondered that? How in the world did a man get so much control that he killed so many million Jews? And he wasn't killing Jews only, he was killing Polish people too. He killed something like 6 million Jews and about 4 or 5 million Polish people. That's over 10 million people. 10 million executions. That's a lot of people. 10 million. How could a man gain control and get the license to murder like that? Now, with the deceitfulness of something. You wonder, and you look at this, and you look at history, and you say, how in the world did people ever get in like that? How in the world did they ever gain control where they could do that? Well, we've seen it in the past, and brethren, it's going to be in the future, but to a much greater extent, because the Bible says we have never experienced what's going to happen. The world has never experienced the terror that she will experience during this period of time, and the bloodshed. when all this culminates, how much of the Gentile world is going to be destroyed, Margaret? How much of the Gentile world will be destroyed when all of this violence is destroyed? Come on. Five-sixths of the Gentile world will be destroyed. Five-sixths of the population of the world is going to die. Think about that. Five-sixths. That means that only one man out of six will live on the earth. Two-thirds of the Jewish people in the world will be destroyed and killed. That's all that's going to be left going to the millennium. One-third of the Jews, one-sixth of the Gentile nations. That's everyone else. All the rest are murdered and killed and slaughtered and destroyed. Think about that. What a mess. We've never experienced anything like it before. Nor will we ever experience anything like it again. Thank the Lord for that. I wondered greatly. I was amazed, he said, how that this would happen. We can look and see, and it's going to happen. We say, well, it can't happen again. You know what the Jews say about Masada? Never again. I got news for them. Yeah, it's going to happen again. Masada was that one of the last stands that the Jewish people made in 72 A.D. when the 10th Roman Legion was sent against them there down by the Dead Sea against the fortress of Masada. And they stood. And finally, they were about to break in, break the walls down, the Roman Legion was. And the Jewish people decided to commit suicide instead of be captured. There were only a few that were captured. All the rest of them committed suicide. Every time that they killed a Roman soldier out there, there was a ramp built up to that fortress. The Roman Legion kept building that ramp up. They were using Jewish prisoners to do it. And every time an arrow or a spear or a rock or something would hit and kill a Roman soldier, they would kill 10 Jews right there in front of them. How would you like being in that situation, didn't you? Couldn't even fight, did you? Every time you shot an arrow into somebody, you're going to kill 10 of your people. They literally took those Jews and just buried them among the rubble on that ramp. There's bones. Hundreds and thousands of Jewish bones in that ramp that goes up to Masada. And the Jew says, never again. I've got news for them. It's going to happen again. Much worse than what happened then. Then verse 8 says, and the beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and to go into destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will wonder, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast, that he was and is not, and will come. Here is the mind which has wisdom. Seven heads or seven mountains on which the woman sits. What is a mountain typical in the Bible? Cindy, it's symbolic of what? Government, nation. All right? The woman is setting over the false religious system. Church-state religion is setting over seven nations, it says. Seven governments. And they are the seven kings. Five have fallen, and one is, and the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must remain a little while. And the woman, or the beast, that is, which was and is not, is himself an eighth, and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, who have not yet received the kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. What does 1 hour mean there? Short time. Okay. For a short time. Brother Jim. I was afraid he was going to ask me that, brother. I think my moral opinion is it's talking about Satan. Okay? All right. Talking about Satan now. You may not have that opinion, Sister Farrar. What do you think? I am too. I didn't say much about him. All right. Some things I just don't say much about, because really there are a lot of opinions about this, but my own opinion is, and I'm not going to press it upon you, that it is Satan. And the reason why I say it, read it again, and we'll go over it since Brother Jay asked the question. I wasn't going to do this, but let's look at it, okay? The beast that you saw was, and is not, okay? And is about to come up out of the abyss, the bottomless pit, okay? Now, who's put in the bottomless pit? Satan, all right? And to go to destruction. Who? Satan again. And as then it says, those who dwell on the earth will wander, whose name has not been written in the book of life and the foundation of the world, when they see the beast, that he was and is not and will come. All right? Here is the mind of wisdom, the seven heads, or the seven mountains. We talked about that. And then it says, and there are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. And the beast, which was and is not, is himself also an eight, and is one of the seven. He goes to destruction. I think it's talking about the Antichrist here. I think it's talking about the embodiment of Satan in human flesh. Now, whether it is or not, that's also, you can just take it. Like I said, the things here that I don't know much about, I just don't mess with. And I don't try to press my opinions upon you. You've got as much sense to study as I do. And you can. Just cross-reference and think about it. Analyze it. And you can come up with as good an opinion as I can on this. All right? Brother, he's talking about the period of time during the during the tribulation period. But I think this is actually, if this is talking about the Antichrist, if it's talking about Satan himself, it could prophetically be saying what is going to happen to him in the future. Okay, also. That's where he was and is not, and he goes to destruction, jumps back out, all of that. Okay? Well, one of these kings in this part of the world is going to be the Antichrist. He's going to rise up. One of the kings is going to be the Antichrist. He's going to be the leader. And he's going to take control. And this is one of the kings right here. All right? And it says that it talks about him going into the abyss and something. So the Antichrist is the, what? The incarnate devil. Okay? Yes. Yes, he will. I think it's prophetic of what will happen to him. Actually, he'll be put in the bottomless pit right here, only at the end of the tribulation period, and then he'll come back up again. Okay. He not only is cast into the bottomless pit there, and he comes back up. He musters his armies his people that live through the millennial reign of Christ, doesn't it? Right through that period of time, at the end time. Cindy, you had a question. All right, he's one of the kings under these Western nations that are going to be under the Antichrist, and I believe he's talking about the Antichrist there. Now, that's my opinion, okay? And that, the same thing. It's talking about the same man, same ruler, same king, okay? Calls him a beast. Calls him a man, calls him king, and of course, who is the Therion, the swift-running, destructive animal type person? The Antichrist, okay? Uh-huh. All right, we find from the book of Daniel that there are 10 nations, and all of a sudden, 3 of the kings are destroyed. All right? And then raises up another one. There was 7 left, and then another one raises up, the 8th, the Antichrist. Okay? And that's what I believe it's talking about here. And then the 10 horns, which you saw, are 10 kings who have not yet received the kingdom, but they have received authority as kings with a beast for 1 hour. Authority as kings with a beast. All right? The world, the Western world ruler, okay? For 1 hour, for a short period of time. How long is the Antichrist going to reign? Be a very short time, isn't it? During this period of time right here is all he's going to reign. This is a 7-year period of time called Daniel's week. Okay? During this period of time is as long as he's going to reign. That's it. This is a short time. Long enough to... What has the world always wanted today?
A ruler that'll lead them into peace, that'll bring in a utopia. And we call this, the mankind is always looking for, we call this theory and idea historic optimism. But what does historic optimism taught us? What does history teach us? That mankind will never be able to solve his own problem.
The world is calling for a leader to lead them into safety, into peace. They're looking for a leader that'll do that. The Antichrist is going to be that person. Except he's not going to lead them in peace, is he? The world looking for a leader. Remember what Hitler said. He said, if you will follow me, he said, I'll bring you into the 1,000-year reign. He told Germany that. If they'd follow him, that he would raise a intelligent race that was able to rule the world in peace and would bring it all into harmony in the end. What did he cause? Destruction. The idea of our nation today is to educate people out of sin. You know? The reason why people are such terrible sinners is because they're uneducated. Some of the most educated and brilliant people in the world were in Germany during Hitler's reign. What did education do for them? Caused the murder of Hitler. Hitler was a brilliant man, except he was subject to insanity. No. What is this world leader that the world is looking for today? What's he going to give them? Death and destruction. World has always hollered for a perfect man, as a perfect leader for them. Have a perfect society without sin and everything. And this is what, you know, this is what these common market nations today that are in Europe, that's what they're wanting. You know, they've got some of the best ideas that, you know, they sound real good on paper. This one world system wants to do away with the money. Because if you don't have money, nobody's going to be able to rob you of money. You won't have anything but a credit card, and that credit card will be put in your hand and on your forehead. Now, that's what they say. If this system is put in effect, it won't be some ugly-looking mark because it's going to be burned into your flesh underneath. It's just going to deform the flesh enough where there'll be a serial number underneath there, your number, and they'll be able to run a sensor over it and tell what you have. When you go to the store, that's what you buy. This is what they want to set up. And when all this comes into being, well, all the crime on the streets, well, there won't be any crime because there won't be any thieves running around. Just a second, Brother Jay. And there won't be any thieves running around to do this. What are they going to steal? No money? Doesn't that sound good? Everything that you own is going to be marked with your number if somebody steals it. He's going to be caught. Sounds real good, doesn't it? What the Bible speaks of, the Antichrist reign, Brother Jay. That's right. Of course, they say they're going to print this one money system, and then they're going to do away with the money. Because they have a computer already that is able to put every man, every woman, and every child that is in that system, put their number in it, and to keep control of all of their money, what they have. Sounds real good, doesn't it? Isn't that sound good to the world if you didn't read the Bible? Well, that sounds good to me, really. I mean, it would be nice to be able to walk the street safely without somebody wanting to rob you. Sounds good. But that's the system that the Bible speaks of here, of the Antichrist. Yes. Sure, they could use your Social Security number, put that right in your, burn it in your hand where it wouldn't be deformed looking. You think you couldn't see it when you looked at it. I think if this is the preliminary work set up for this Antichrist kingdom. I believe it's preliminary work. I wouldn't call it the kingdom of the Antichrist, because he may work in some other fashion, but he's going to use this philosophy that it's in the idea of people already. These people already have this in their minds. This is what they want to do, and it's the Western nations that are wanting to do this. The kingdom of the Antichrist. No other nation. Russia's not wanting to do this. China's not wanting to do it. The African nations are not wanting to do it. Guess who's wanting to do it? The kingdom that the Bible says will be under the Antichrist. Sister Carl. Which one are you talking about? They don't publicize their crime rate like we do. There is a lot of crime there. There's a lot of crime in Japan. There are a lot of social uprisings and everything that we don't hear about. See, everything that happens in America is publicized. Other countries aren't like we are. They don't publicize their sin. We do. Stupid. It means we are dumb. You know, the rest of the world looks upon America as a bunch of absolute raving idiots. That's right. They think we're the stupidest nation. I mean, people don't do like we do, you know. Really. It's dumb, you know. If you've got a political system you want to broadcast and propagate in the world, you don't throw all your sins out there for the world to see. You do like Russia. You lie a lot, you know. Brother Ray. Yes. Well, we're in a hole. 1975, when I went aboard the naval command ship, the USS Blue Ridge, that captain told us we're going to be in a lot of trouble by 1980 if they would do something. If our Congress doesn't turn around, and the humanism that's in it, turn around and face reality and start building our armament when we can stand against Russia, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. But guess what? The Lord's using it anyway. Isn't he? He's using Russia to bind those common market nations together to stand against them. They're scared to death. They've got to do something. They've got to maintain a balance of power so they can stand against Russia. So God's using it. You know, he's used evil rulers before, hasn't he? Evil system. Of course, that doesn't give us the right to set back as a bunch of pacifists and idiots and say, oh, well, whatever will be, will be. The Lord left us here for a reason, you know. We're to do what's right now, as the Lord takes us out of the world. Why is the Antichrist going to be able to come on the scene? According to Thessalonians. Because that's the whole fact. Who is that? The Holy Spirit that indwells the Lord's churches. He comforts them and guides them. He's going to be taken out of the world along with the Lord's churches. And the world is going to go into chaos. The salt of the earth is going to be gone. So destruction comes. What does salt do? Purify. It preserves. That's what you're here for, Brennan. Purify and preserve this world. You know why America is in such a mess it is today? It's your fault. That's why. Because you didn't stand up. Your forefathers didn't stand up. They sat around like a bunch of pastor fools and let things happen that shouldn't have happened. We allowed it. That's why. If we had the influence that the Bible says we should have, that wouldn't have happened. Would it? All right. Let's go a little further now. Verse 13 says these have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast, all the kings. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Now this Lamb here, who is this Lamb? Sister Farrar, what about this Lamb that's going to raise war with all these kings and all the comers? The Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he came as a lamb slain before, didn't he?
Boy, he's going to come as a mighty ruler the next time.
The lamb that came, the little lamb that went to slaughter, that opened not his mouth, as the Isaiah the 53rd chapter says, is going to come back not quite so meek as he was the first time he came. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful, these that he brings with him. Now remember, the Lord comes for his people, and then he comes with his people. This is talking about coming with his people here. He's coming with them. He comes for them. All the saved during this period of time are taken up to be with the Lord. And the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are married to him, the true church is the faithful. All right? And all the saved, everything, they're glorified, so on and so forth. And they reign with Christ. Actually, there's kind of a wedding feast that takes place, a marriage feast. The Hebrew wedding took how long? 7 days, 1 week. This is called Daniel's week here. During this week, there's a wedding feast in heaven for the Lord and his churches. And they become his bride. They become prepared to rule and reign with him. Then he comes back with them to bring in his kingdom after the marriage feast is over. Then it says, and he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sets are peoples. Now remember a while ago we asked about the waters. See, Margaret? Waters are peoples. Okay, I'm going to ask you that question again. You better remember that. Okay. These waters that it's talking about here, figurative language, are talking about people. You know, I had a Russellite come to me yesterday. You know, Russellite's a witness, you know. And she come up with her baloney, and I listened to her for a few minutes, and then I started telling her the truth. You know, she said, oh, you know, how, boy, we know that we're in the end times. Look what all's happening. The Bible says. I said, yeah, but I said, you know what? I said, you know one of the greatest testimonies that we're in the end times? You know what that testimony is? She didn't want to tell me, let me tell her anything. You know, she wanted to keep her mouth shut. I don't know. But I said, Israel has become a nation of Jews. Oh, no, no, no. Spiritual Israel. There's no such thing as literal Israel in the Bible anymore. Spiritual Israel. Spiritual Israel. We're spiritual Israel. I said, that's not what the Bible says. It talks about Israel as a nation coming to be. Israel was dispersed. And Israel, the regathering of Israel is going to take place during the last times of the Gentile age. And God's going to deal with her again. That tells us that we're right in the lap, I think, between the church age and the tribulation period. That's what tells us. You know, that's a signpost out there that says, watch out! So many miles to go. Well, that tells us that God is going to deal. He's about to close this age. That's what tells us. There's some things that you can spiritualize in the Bible. Spiritual or a figure of speech, the waters or what? People. But when it says Israel, it means Israel. It means them. Well, you talk to a Jew about that, brother. All right. The peoples, the waters, will the harlot sets are peoples and the multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw, the beast, these will hate the harlot. Uh-oh. Something's going to happen. And will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. For God has put in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God should be fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, this religious leader will, the religious system will be set up into that great city that reigns over the earth. It's talking again, I believe, about Rome. She is set up. Rome is set up to be the religious capital of the world at this time, of the Western world. I don't mean the whole world. I want you to keep that in mind. And when does the Antichrist turn against his religious system that he sets up? Right in the middle of the week. And then he says, I don't care about this religion anymore, about you worshiping God in any way, shape, fashion, or form. I'm God. You worship me from now on. He does away with that religious system that he has set up. And he says, now I am to be the object of worship. He destroys his religious system. All of those in the religious system that will not obey him as God will die. And he does away with the Babylon, the religious Babylon at that time, and the Antichrist is the object of worship from that time on. Israel, when she sees that, Matthew, the 24th chapter, the Lord told Israel, when you see that, you get out of here. You know that you made a mistake. You crucified the Messiah. This false Messiah that you have is going to do nothing but lead you into a lot of problems. That's all the time we have today. Thank you for coming and listening and studying. And come back next week and we'll get...